This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Everybody, Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. That is correct. What an interesting week. What an interesting week. Well, you know, last week we told you that we're headed out of here as soon as the show was over to go get ready, gear up, get the firearms and all the special clothing in the truck, and head over and pick up my grandson Jacob, head down to Dorchester County and enjoy a day in the marsh. Well, that worked out just fine. That was Jacob's first trip to the marsh. Jacob wasn't totally impressed with the smell of the marsh mud, but I told him Dorchester County girls really like that smell, so he ought to, embrace that. Didn't cut any mustard with him. So, anyway, we met our host and had a nice conversation. Nice place, and everybody was headed out to separate stands, which was good. There were only five of us in camp, which was pretty cool. So we walked to the stand. The stand was in the marsh. It's about a 6x5 box built on scaffolding out in the marsh. Pretty good looking stand. And there's a little spot of high ground where there are some trees, and that was a perfect spot for a feeder to be placed. And it's been there for years and years and years. The feeder is 119 yards via rangefinder from the stand site. Nice clear area under pine trees. The pine needles have made a nice open area there. Very easy to see. Of course, the deer coming to the feeder have tracked the whole thing up. But it's a relatively solid ground. The road, if you want to call it that, back into the marsh was laid probably a century ago. It's just timbers in the marsh and a little bit of a trail there to get back. And some shooting lanes had been cut, which were pretty nice. So you're looking at a 360-degree field of view and hundreds of yards, I mean thousands of yards in some cases, and it's phragmitis, which is over your head, and needle rush, which is nearly over your head, and some areas of the needle rush are only as high as your knees, so you can see the deer coming, so to some degree. So we got in the stand, and it's got windows all the way around, actually cut openings all the way around that are covered up. And the reason they're covered up is because it's the only high thing in the marsh that is enclosed. And owls tend to roost in that stand. When I hunted it last year, I found several owl pellets. And if you know what an owl pellet is, it's an owl function of an owl when they eat critters, mice, and things in the marsh, voles and shrews and whatever, and birds. They'll eat that animal whole. They'll tear it to pieces and swallow it whole, and then they'll regurgitate a pellet up out of their gut, which is made up of hair and feathers and bones and things like that. Well, I have a collection of those owl pellets from that stand from last year. But that being said, the owl has been prevented from entering the stand now and under the new ownership. So, anyway, I digress. Little after 4 o'clock, Jacob's not a very excitable guy. You know, he's watching, you know, he's looking. He's very quiet and stand. Not a lot of chatter, not a lot of excitement. He knows what it takes because he's watched me just sit for hours and either peer deeply into the woods and pay attention or sleep, one of the two. But Jacob, he said, Paul, dear, barely raised his hand and pointed toward the feeder. There was a fair-sized doe, sick of deer, on the feeder. So I said, well, if you want to shoot that doe, you're welcome to do so. He goes, no, we've got plenty of time. It's 4:05. Not excited, plenty of time. I said, okay, well, what do you want to do? You want to wait for a stag or, you know, I don't know. I said, well, you know, you do what you want. I'm here for the meat. I said, if you want to wait till we get, you know, two does on there, we'll both take a shot and each get one. Okay, that sounds good. All right, cool. Well, that was 4:05. The feeder went off about 4:15. Deer had absolutely no reaction. You know, when a feeder goes off, feeder is basically a bin on a tripod that has corn or grain or whatever in it, and it's on a timer. There's a spinner on the bottom, battery operated. There's a spinner on the bottom that's on a timer. When the timer hits the right time, the spinner, the battery, you know, causes the spinner to go off. The food, the corn on the spinner drops down, and you know, it disperses the food in a circle. So, feeder went off. Deer paid no attention. Apparently, had heard it many, many times before. 4:15, still half hour before sunset, still an hour of shooting time. I said, okay. Feeder just went off. I said, let's really pay attention now. So I'm looking across the marsh, and I see a little head pop up out of the needle rush about 400 yards. By the time I got the binoculars up, the head had gone, but I knew what I had seen, and I said, Jake, there's a deer out there. He said, where? I said, you see that last row of dead trees? I said, see the little green spot in the needle rush there, that little, you know, semicircle of green stuff? I said, just to the right of that, about 30 or 40 yards, I saw a head pop up out of the marsh. Well, to see around the marsh, sika deer will occasionally stand on their hind legs and look out across the marsh to see if they can see anything. I said, so let's pay attention over there. And sure enough, 3 deer came into the feeder pretty quickly. I mean, shortly after I'd seen them, they had covered that distance. It was 2 does and a fawn. Now we have 4 deer on the feeder and plenty of time. I said, what do you want to do, Jake? I said, you want to wait till more deer show up? You want to wait till stag shows up? No, I'm good. I said, okay, no, that's fine. Let's each pick one out, wait till it turns broadside, and we'll take a shot. I said, okay. Now, Jake is shooting his grandma's 270, 140 grain ballistic tip bullet. He's taken $4 with that, you know, on 4 consecutive opening days out of the same stand in Cecil County, whitetails. And so he's familiar with the gun. I'm shooting a 300 Win Mag, just in case. I've carried the 300 just in case there's a, you know, a 300 or 400 yard shot, which is a possibility. The owner had been in that stand during the firearm season and shot at a deer 325 yards, and I knew where that shot had taken place, and I was kind of kept an eye in that direction. So, but here we are, both of us resting our rifles on the side of the stand, elevated stand, and we're pointing at 2 deer that are on the feeder. Jake takes a shot, and I see his deer flip over, and I took my head off of my rifle to look to the left to see his deer go over, and pulled the trigger. Now, what made me do that, God only knows. I don't know where the shot went, except towards the deer somewhere. I knew I missed, of course, because I'm not even looking through the scope. And it takes longer to tell you about it than it took to do it. It was instantaneous. Well, when that shot went off, and my shot went off, those deer scattered. ran around a little bit. One stopped. I quickly refocused and dropped that deer. So here we had two deer in the marsh. So we go get them. Two nice fat does. So what do we do now? Jake says, what do we do now? I said, well, we're going to drag him over towards the stand. We're going to dress him out, and we're going to drag him out of here. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you're going to drag yours 600 yards to the road, and I'm going to drag mine 600 yards to the road. And that's what we did. Let's talk to Wesley in Westminster. By the way, the muzzleloader contest is ongoing. We'll probably pull that next week, I think. We'll probably draw that drawing. So all you need to do is call us at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, and leave your name and number with Brian, our producer. We'll write that down. We'll put that on a list. Next week we'll be able to pull somebody's name independently and somebody will win a great muzzleloader from CVA, Optima V2. I think, Wes, I think it was your son that won one, wasn't it?
He sure did, yes.
Yeah, man. How you been?
We're going out this afternoon to give it a try.
With the new muzzleloader or with the old one?
Well, we're going to take them both because I'm taking both the boys.
Good for you. Good for you. Were you able to sight that in?
I mounted a scope on it. I will sight it this afternoon as soon as I get off work, and then we're going.
Man, you're going, huh? Good for you.
Yeah, so I thought four sighted it, so I'll be on paper. But
yeah, well, but you can certainly miss a deer just by being on paper.
Yeah, I definitely got to get it final sighted.
Now, when you say you bore sighted it, did you use an instrument or did you bore sight it the old way?
The old way. I lined it up with the steel iron sight. And then I mount and locked it all in place, and then I mounted the scope accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you take the breech plug out and look through the bore to see that the bore and the crosshairs of the scope were looking at the same spot?
No, I did not.
Ah, well, you need to do that. Take that breech plug out. Yeah, close that gun back up, pull that hammer back so you can see through there, and make sure that your scope and the bore, that's why they call it bore sighting, that the bore is on the same spot as the scope.
Okay.
Okay?
I've always mounted, because I've never had one that I could see through the breech.
Right.
So I've always just lined up my iron sight, which, you know, I've shot, and they're good.
Right.
I always just line them up on the targeting on the wall, and then I mount the scope and adjust it.
Yeah, we actually have an article how to bore sight a gun in the latest issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly on page 14. It's called Last Minute Deer Guns.
Yeah, that's great because you know the boys and I were just talking about that when we were talking about bore sighting it and everything. And I was going to take it to Dick's and have them do it.
Uh-huh.
But then I said, oh, the heck with that! You know, I'll just do it the old way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they were talking to me about, you know, bore sighting and everything. So that'll be a great article for them to read. They'll love it.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's pretty simple. The idea is you secure a base for the gun. You know, bags, commercially made rifle rest, something like that. And then you put your scope on low power, and you sight straight down the bore at about 25 yards if you can. And because if you go any further than that, it's going to get wavy on you. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
And then what you do is you look down the bore and see where the bore is pointed at the target, and then you just slightly lift your head and see if your crosshairs are looking at the same spot. That's how that works.
Yeah, that would work. Sure, sure. I could see how that works.
That's exactly how it works. And I've done it when I mount scopes on my own firearms. That's how I do it. I just pick a spot across the yard, you know, make sure it's I'm looking at something very precise, look down the bore, lift my head, and see if the scope is just slightly lift your head, make sure that scope is looking at the exact same spot, and that's how you do it. Pretty simple. But the whole process is in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, and you can see that online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. So you don't even have to get a copy. Although I just stocked up a couple places in Westminster. If you happen to stop by, either what is it, Westminster Equipment there, the Kubota dealer, or Bullock's Restaurant has them, M&G Deer Processing has them also right in that area. So, all right.
Okay, I'll definitely stop in.
All right, buddy. Well, good. Good luck to you, okay? We're going, too. We're headed out to Montgomery County today.
All right. Well, good luck to you guys. Be safe.
Oh, you too, buddy. Thanks, Wes.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. There he goes, Wesley. Melody. Good morning, Melody. Long time no here. How are you?
Hi, Alan. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Great. How you been?
I'm wonderful. How have you been? And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas
to you. Okay, I would like to ask you, I was walking through St. Helena down in Dundalk, and this critter come running up the street. And the reason I'm calling you is I was just wondering, along your travels, have you ever ran across a chupacabra?
No, I have never seen a chupacabra.
Well, this critter that came running up the street, at first I thought it was a dog or a fox, but it had like a major overbite. That's what got me. I mean, it had like all these pointy teeth sticking out. And I was curious if they had them in Maryland.
Well, let me tell you what that was. It wasn't very big, was it?
Well, I'd say about the size of a medium-sized dog.
Yeah, what you saw, Melody, was a red fox that was suffering from a severe case of mange.
This animal wasn't red. No.
It wouldn't be. It would look like it had very little fur.
Interesting, because I do see a lot of fox down here at camp.
Yeah, that's what you saw. You saw a fox with mange, and they are very, very scary looking. And as far as the overbite is concerned, it's possible. But, you know, without the fur, they look pretty scary.
I don't know. It was scary. It was looking at me like I was dinner. I had to get out of there.
And yeah, well, I don't blame you. I mean, chupacabras are usually confined to the southwest, from what I understand. But, you know, hey, look, who knows? Could be a chupacabra. I'm going to guess fox with mange. Or,
I know. There is deer down in Dundalk.
Could have very well been a coyote.
In Dundalk?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, could have very well been a coyote. If it had a lot of fur on it, it was a coyote.
It really didn't look mangy. It didn't.
No, then I would guess coyote.
Wow. Okay. All right, Alan. Look, you have a good Christmas and Happy New Year.
You still in the tent, Melody?
I certainly am. I'm sitting on my bed right now.
God bless you. All right. Well, Melody, I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks. Bye bye. Merry Christmas. There she goes, Melody. How about that? All right. Mark and Towson. Well, Chesapeake Outdoors. Yes, indeed. I stopped there. What day was I down there? Can't remember. Maybe Thursday. Thursday. Chesapeake Outdoors, rocking and rolling, getting ready for Christmas. The largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area if you're looking for a great Christmas present. Also, the Bubba Blade knives. And a lot of unusual stuff that you don't see at your average sporting goods store. They have everything you need for gift giving. For hunters and fishermen and crabbers. They've got great Under Armour and Drake apparel. They've got Avery and Bigfoot decoys, bows, crossbows, firearms, ammunition, waterfowl accessories. You name it, for hunting and fishing, Chesapeake Outdoors has it. And don't forget, waterfowlers, it's the place in the area to have your geese and ducks picked. A lady came in the other day when I was there. She had a little cackler goose, and somebody had given it to her. She asked them if they could pick it for him. Absolutely, ma'am. You want to wait for it? Sure. Why not? Route 50 East, exit 39B. Dominion Road, Chesapeake Outdoors on Kent Island, Maryland, just across the Bay Bridge. You'll be glad you stopped by. Make sure you make it one of your stops for gift giving this Christmas. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro
Grow Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Liner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Celebrate your passion. That Great American Outdoor Show, February 7th through the 15th at the Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Presented by the Outdoor Channel. 650,000 square feet of shooting manufacturers, outfitters, boats, RVs, ATVs, hunting and fishing retailers, and much, much more. Celebrating the outdoor traditions treasured by millions of Americans, including you. Featuring all your favorite celebrities. The NRA Country Jam with Lee Bryce and Thompson Square, live in concert. 3D archery and game calling competitions. Pyramid Air Gun Range. Seminars from experts on guns and hunting. Fishing demonstrations at the 2,500-gallon hog trough. Family Fun Zone featuring interactive displays for kids. Eddie Eagle Gun Safety Program. Daily contests and prizes. Tickets are on sale now. Start your adventure at GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org. That's GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org. February 7th through the 15th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
If you enjoy deer, turkey, and waterfowl hunting, they've got the woods. If fishing or crabbing is your passion, the waters are right there. Chesapeake Woods and Waters Campground and RV Park in Somerset County is the outdoorsman's quiet, private place to get away from the crowd. Thousands of acres of public hunting lands are nearby. Pocomoke and Tangier Sounds offer the best fishing on the Chesapeake. You are within minutes of a full-service marina, boat ramp, and a popular restaurant. Chrisfield, Ocean City, Assateague, and Chincoteague are only a short drive away. All campsites at Chesapeake Woods and Waters Campground have public water and sewage. Electric hookups are available. To reserve your spot for this hunting season or next fishing season, call 410-591-4027 or visit the website cwawc.com for Chesapeake Woods and Waters Campground. That's 410-591-4027.
Now you can hear 3 hours of The Great One, Mark Levin, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Come, they told me, our newborn king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before the King. This is to honor Him. When we come,
Johnny Cash. Let's talk to Mark in Towson. Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. What's up?
So, did your grandson have any trouble field dressing the deer?
Paw did that this time in the interest of time.
Okay.
Yeah. He's learning that craft. He's learning that craft. But what I'm finding out, and some other hunters and I had this discussion the other day, the youngsters don't know the basic skills that you and I know.
Speak for yourself.
Well, they don't. I mean, look.
Nobody's born knowing it.
Nobody's born knowing it, but nobody's brought. I mean, look. Part of my culture was, you know, when I grew up, I had a knife in my hand from the time I was 10 years old. I actually had one confiscated from me by my parents because they bought me one for Christmas, and I field dressed one of the living room chairs Christmas morning. I didn't get that one back. I didn't get that one back for about 8 months. But but they don't know basic skills. They don't know how to use a knife. They don't know how to cut with a knife. They don't know how to, you know, hold a knife in their hand. You've got it's frustrating to some degree because it's so natural to me. But yet you forget that the kids don't have the hands-on knowledge. They didn't take shop in school. There was nobody in their culture that taught them how to do anything with their hands and how to, you know, what it took to survive and that type of thing, how to tie a knot or how to do certain things. And you got to know how to handle a knife before you can field dress a deer.
They look at us with equal mystery.
I'm sure.
When it comes to the electronic stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. And I look
into a new car, and it's intuitively obvious. I look at it, and I say, how do I turn on the radio?
Exactly. Exactly right. Yep. And by the time you're figuring out how to turn the radio on, you know, they've got your Bluetooth hooked up and your GPS and the whole deal is ready to rock and roll. And you're going, how'd you do that? Oh, we just did it. Done, you know, and you go, okay, where's the key go in? All you have to do is press the button. The key fob is in your pocket. Oh, okay. There's no place to put a key. Right. So,
he sounds like a very patient young man.
He is a very patient young man. You know, on occasion, he'll, you know, if we're in a ladder stand or in a box stand and we're in very close proximity, you know, it's the elbow and the ribs type of deal. But this one was pretty cool. He's sitting there watching out across the marsh, you know, and he looks across the marsh and he goes, "Paw, deer." And one finger goes out from the gloved hand pointing at the feeder. I'm like, okay, you know. Me, I'm like banging him in the ribs and pointing, you know. You know. But, he's a very patient young man and a good shot. I mean, an extremely good shot. And he gets upset. He gets upset if he aims at the deer and, you know, and puts the crosshairs behind the shoulder and hits it, you know, an inch off. Well, that's not where I aimed. Okay, Jake. Well, you know what? You might have hit a twig on the way through. Really? Would it throw it off that much? 2 inches? Yeah, probably would. Yeah, could. No question about it. But I'll tell you what, he's a real good shot, and he's like you said, a patient guy, and it's just a joy to be in the stand with him. So, and he doesn't get real excited at the time, but he'll look at you and he'll go, you know, the whole thing will be over, and he'll go, "That was exciting." And you go, "Really? Yeah, that was good. Okay, that's cool." That's about as much reaction as you're going to get. So he's very soft-spoken, and, you know, I enjoy the heck out of him. So
that's great. No trouble. Did he have any trouble dragging it out?
No.
That can be a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
It's hard.
It was a lot of work. See, he let Paw be the trailblazer, and Paw found 4 or 5 holes. Yeah, in the marsh. Jake, yeah. Hold on here. Let me get my boot out. There's a hole right here. So Paul was the one with the wet legs going out of the marsh, and Jacob was able to sidestep him pretty much. So, yeah, it was. That's why we field dressed the deer ahead of time, so we wouldn't have such a heavy drag. But it was an adventure, that's for sure. Both of us were tired at the end, no question. And, of course, as soon as we get in the truck, he's asleep. But, you know, it's a long drive, 2 hours from down in Vienna. But it was a lot of fun. So.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we had a great time. So can't wait to get the meat back. I'm having sick of deer sauerbraten for Christmas dinner, I believe.
That sounds great. It's better than what I ran into last week coming down Delaney Valley Road. Guy had a, I don't know what you call it, like a platform in the receiver hitch.
Uh-oh.
In the back of his truck, and then, of course, he's got a deer just laying there.
Oh,
no
man.
Tarpaulin, no nothing.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, contributions to stereotypes are not deductible.
No, correct. I like that line. Very nice. Very nice.
Coming from an accountant.
Yeah, that's true. Gotcha. Brother, you have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Have a wonderful holiday. It's been a year, but we've seen the end of it at least.
I'll tell you, it has been a year. So.
Yeah.
And now I'm just telling you about Saturday. I didn't tell you anything about what happened on Monday or Tuesday, but stay tuned. You'll be listening.
I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Okay.
See you, Mark. Bye-bye. There he goes. Okay, so we got the deer out of the marsh, got him home, got him to the butcher's on Sunday morning, and all is well. Now, Monday, I didn't know if I had told you, but I was asked 2 weeks ago, I was headed home from the radio show, the phone rang. I was a member of the governor's transition team for the Department of Natural Resources, asked me to be on the governor's transition team. I said, sure, send me an email, let me know what it's all about. Got that email. With some details, confirmation, that type of thing. So Monday at 1:30 in the afternoon, I was asked to be on the DNR transition team, talking to the folks in fisheries, which I did. There were probably a dozen people in the room. There were top managers of fisheries, a director, two deputy secretaries or deputy directors, I guess, and a number of staff people along with the transition team, which included commercial watermen and scientists and, you know, a couple other members of the transition team and myself. And we sat for about 2.5 hours and listened to and interacted with the upper management of fisheries. And that day they asked me if I could come back and sit in on the wildlife meetings, which I did. And I went at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning to Annapolis, Taws, and sat with the wildlife managers, and I had another two-hour meeting and discussed their needs and concerns, and listened to the, you know, the back and forth with the transition team. I was able to contribute, ask a question here or there in those 2 days, and then I sent my comments to the governor's transition team. So that was very interesting. Whether or not anything I have to say is meaningless, you know, we don't know. But it was an interesting time. I'd never been asked to participate in anything quite that high level, and I just want to thank the incoming Hogan administration for considering me to participate in the transition team with the Department of Natural Resources. So that's all I pretty much have to say about that. Wednesday worked, Thursday worked, Friday, what did I do? Friday, I can't remember. Caught up, I guess. And here we are on Saturday. So headed out to, I think we're going to Montgomery County today to do some deer hunting. There's some deer out there that, you know, haven't been pressured too much on some private property that we have access to. So I think we'll, and that big 9-point still out there, that 145-inch 9-point. Oh, I know what I did on Thursday. I did go to the Eastern Shore. I stopped to see my buddy Don Travis, Travis Taxidermy. He had gotten Jacob's deer rack on a plaque done, and we chatted. I dropped off my 8-point there to create a special project with that 8-point, and we'll put pictures up when we get it done. It's going to be a year down the road, but it's an intriguing and challenging product that Don Travis is going to turn out for us. So let's talk to Crabber Ron in Sykesville. Where you been?
Oh, I've been here. Where you been?
I've been here every week, buddy.
So you said you were down there hunting in Vienna. I used to live down Mardella Springs right across the river.
Oh, right across the road. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Mardella Springs. Yeah, buddy.
Mosquito haven of the world.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah.
Loads of mosquitoes down there.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Alan, you ever watched The Waltons?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Well, they're ruined now. I watch them occasionally.
Right.
I like to know who the writers are for that show. They had one episode. It was called The Hunt.
Okay.
And it was John Boy's first trip out turkey hunting with his dad and two other guys.
Okay.
So they leave. It's daybreak. They leave in the car.
Mm-hmm.
They're going turkey hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's four of them in a line, like they're driving deer, and they're going to hunt turkeys.
Sure.
I thought, I don't know about this. When I always went turkey hunting, I was, you know, in the woods before daybreak. And
right.
Had my place to sit and look, but I've never seen them drive turkeys.
I am involved in a project right now. That is, how can I say this politely? It's a similar situation. Someone is writing, doing creative writing for this project, who has no familiarity with the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Who has? I'll just say it has to do with hunting. Somebody's writing copy, crafting copy, who has never been hunting. Who has no familiarity with hunting, who doesn't even know a hunter.
Doesn't have a rifle.
Doesn't have any knowledge, you know. The probably the only shooting they've ever done is on their phone, you know,
where
on some type
Hollywood?
Of... What's that?
I said, where are they from, Hollywood?
No. No. Worse, Annapolis. But it's interesting to see how a non-hunter portrays wildlife and hunting. It's just interesting to see.
Yes.
Because what you can see is if they're writing about wild turkeys, let's just take your example. If they're writing about wild turkeys, there's a lot about the biology of a wild turkey. There's a lot about the description of a wild turkey. But if you're creating a mental image of turkey hunting to a turkey hunter pretty much knows that a turkey stands 30 inches high and has an estimated weight of between 18 and 21 pounds. I mean, for the most part.
You know,
you don't have to tell a turkey hunter how big a turkey is necessarily. You understand what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay. A turkey hunter who will be looking at this product knows what a turkey is. And they don't necessarily have to know that their range extends from, you know, New Hampshire to New Mexico, especially if you're talking about one particular location, like Maryland. So, but you can Google a lot of stuff and regurgitate a lot of stuff, but unless you have the practical experience and understand what a hunter's looking for, they don't want to read a bunch of gobbledygook. And I'm not being critical of this person at all. It's just they think they know what somebody who is involved wants to read or wants to see or wants to hear. And just like you and the Waltons, you don't line up and drive turkeys necessarily.
Yeah, they're all like five feet apart.
Yeah, if there's four guys, who's shooting a turkey?
Well, they stopped, and since it was John Boy's first time, they were going to let him take the first shot.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he lined up on his turkey, and he just couldn't do it. You know.
Oh, I know.
John Boy's kind of a panty waste anyway. But, So anyway, he hurts his ankle, and his dad tells him, well, go ahead back.
Oh, my.
He goes back, and then he sits up against this tree, and there was a bear that had got hurt the day before, the night before, I can't remember. And he sits there, and his blood, he puts his hand on a tree because he hurt his ankle, and he's leaning back, and he gets his blood on his hand.
Right.
And he's looking around, and he hears this bear. So the bear, somehow the bear attacks his father. His father had laid his, oh, I know it was, the dog went out with him. The bear got the dog.
Okay.
He didn't kill it, but he got the dog. So the father lays his rifle down, his shotgun down, and goes over to the dog. Well, here comes this big-ass bear. And the bear's standing up, and John Boy hears this bear, and he goes to his father. Well, his father and the bear are wrestling all over the place.
Oh, I bet that worked out well.
Yeah, but, I mean, his father would have been dead 10 minutes, you know.
Right, exactly.
Not even that long. So, anyway, John Boy shoots the bear, and he's the hero. And I'm wondering, what do he have? Number four shot, he's about 15 yards from the bear. I think that what shot would have probably just made that bear mad. You know, I don't know if it would.
Well, welcome to Hollywood. Yeah, Ron, I understand. All right, buddy.
All right.
Well, you have a Merry Christmas. Nice hearing from you.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. Man. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Good night, John Boy. So, anyway. You gotta love it. All right. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That is where you need to head if you are looking for a fine firearm. Waterfowlers, it's time. It's time to look at that old shotgun in the gun clock cabinet and retire it. Move it to the back of the cabinet and stop by Clyde's and put your hands around a new waterfowl gun. Take a look at the Maxis. That is the autoloader shotgun that was built for waterfowl. 3 3.5-inch chambers, gas-driven recoil system, or gas-driven, excuse me, system to eject and give you the next shot. And that new power drive gas system will reduce recoil. Take a look at that Maxis. You're going to like the way it handles. You're going to like the way it swings. Of course, there's always the A5. That's going to be my next semi-automatic shotgun. The most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, softest shooting, recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. It's got that kinematic drive system, which means it's recoil-operated. And you will enjoy looking at that. It comes in a lot of different models. The 3-inch magnum, right, or the 3-inch chamber right now is the one that's most available. The 3.5 is a little touchy. You might have to order that one, but if you want to lay your hands on something today, that 3-inch. And don't forget the BPS pump. Comes in all gauges. Bottom ejection, Dura-Touch Armor Coat, Masio Breakup Infinity Camo Finish. 3 choke tubes come with it. Clyde Sports Shop, gunsmithing, scope mounting, bore sighting, you name it, they do it all. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. And let's not forget the Great American Outdoor Show. That's right. Celebrate your passion at the Great American Outdoor Show, February 6th. Did I give Clyde's phone number? Let me interrupt this commercial to bring you the rest of the other commercial. 410-242-6108. That's Clyde Sports Shop's number, 410-242-6108. So anxious to move on and tell you about the Great American Outdoor Show. Well, anyway, February 7th through the 15th at the Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg, presented by the Outdoor Channel. 650,000 square feet of shooting. Manufacturers, outfitters, boats, RVs, ATVs, hunting and fishing retailers, much, much more. Celebrating the outdoor traditions treasured by you and I. Featuring all your favorite celebrities, NRA Country Jam with Lee Bryce and Thompson Square, live in concert, the 3D archery and game calling competitions, the Pyramid Air Gun Range, seminars from experts on guns and hunting, fishing demonstrations at the 2,500-gallon Hog Trough Family Fun Zone, featuring interactive displays for kids, Eddie Eagle Gun Safety Program, daily contests, and prizes. Tickets are now on sale. Start your adventure at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. That's greatamericanoutdoorshow.org, February 7th through the 15th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners.
with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, the 2015 Maryland Fishing Challenge is underway. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. Late fall, great time. And, you know, this time of year, to hit the freshwater streams, the lakes and rivers, all manner of fish load up on calories for winter. They're hungry. Trout and walleyes, northern pike in the west, largemouth and smallmouth bass in our great river system, and local impoundments, too. The bay has some heavy-hitter rockfish out there, and all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Award-sized fish, certify your catch at an Angler Award Center and enter online, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local Angler Award Center or check out the fishing rule book or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2015 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov.
I'll be all right. Good grief. Lost it there right at the end. And I was going to say, breaking news coming in the next hour from the Maryland Fisheries Service of the Department of Natural Resources. Are you feeling lucky?
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe.
Is that Burl Ives?
Where you can see.
Ah, that's cool.
Somebody
Norbert, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you, sir?
Not bad.
After that choking fit, I guess I'll be all right.
I was just about to say, you were all choked up.
I was all choked up. Yeah, the Maryland Fishing Challenge got me all choked up.
I can believe that.
So what's up, buddy?
You're not supposed to eat the fish raw. Okay.
Exactly. What's up?
Okay. We're about ready to go out goose hunting here in a little bit.
Okay.
And so forth. It's been a pretty good season so far.
Good. Yeah, there's lots of geese where you are. I know that. I was up there the other day. Yeah.
Lots of geese, and the guys have actually hit a few, so.
No kid.
That's a big plus.
Well, that'd be different. But, yeah, good. Good for them.
Yes, indeed. Okay, but I had to tell you this little unique turkey story.
Please.
Years ago, when I thought that I could go wander around in the woods and hunt grouse and such in the fall,
mm-hmm.
I was out in western Maryland, in Orange, wandering around, and I came upon this gentleman who had set up a blind in a ravine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, this is my turkey blind.
Right.
And he said, I said, turkey blind? This is the fall, of course.
Yeah.
He said, yeah. He said, I come out here and I wait like I do deer season and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then I pass shoot the turkeys when they come across this hill.
Oh, my gosh.
And here he is with a single shot 10 gauge, just like he was pass shooting geese.
And shot a turkey.
And that's what he was doing.
Good grief. What a great story. Matter of fact, I headed out to Western Maryland the other day and had 10 of them fly across at the Boonesboro exit, fly across 70 right over the truck. So, hey, Norbert, thanks for the call, buddy.
See you later.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, Bernie and Pete, you guys are in the contest. If you want to hold on through the news, you're welcome to do that, but we got to get out of here for the first hour, so it's time to say get out, stay safe.